So I just want to run this, you know, we create workshops like this by creating a structure and then seeing what does the room need. And that's why you're going to hear something really new now. None of you who have ever been to our workshops will have heard us talk about this. But it's kind of where we're going in our direction of life. I was telling you, you know, about finding joy, finding happiness. And that is the biggest umbrella that we have found that, you know, really unites everything that we do. Because if there's one question that I ask my clients when, you know, what is it that you want? Even if they don't know what they want, they all want to be happier. So I thought I'd give you the formula for happiness. Would you like to know it?
Yes. Yeah. Come on.
Oh my God.
Ooh, looks like math.
Okay.
Okay. H stands for guess what?
Happy.
Happiness. Okay, let's make this even clearer. This is the happiness formula. And this is not something I came up with. This is something that a new, relatively new, what do you call it, stream or school of psychology that has been developed and is really, it's fascinating, and it's called positive psychology. It's finding out what makes people happy, how do we create this happiness. So they came up with this happiness formula. And there's a great book on this called The Happiness Hypothesis by Jonathan Haidt, or Haidt. Okay, so the happiness formula tells us that happiness is created by this S. This is really interesting. This is our set point for happiness. Now you might ask yourself, what does a set point mean? Well, here's the kind of bad news. We all, the moment we're born, the moment we're created actually, also have something in us, let's call it a code. And that code defines our set point for happiness, our ability actually to feel happiness. So you might notice there are people in your life who seem to really be able to live and express happiness in such a joyful way that it's almost irritating when you're in a bad mood, right? You see, how the hell can they be happy the whole time like this? Do you know those people? Right? They seem to, you know. And then there are other people who seem to be able to live in paradise, have everything they want in life, and they're still frigging complaining. Do you know those people? Right? And I think, so this is actually, I feel this is, in a way, it's a sense of relief to know that we're just wired differently. And some of us are wired at a very low set point of happiness, and others are able to, you know, sort of gel in at a higher set point of happiness. Now, up until now, psychology and research has said that this is kind of just, that's the way it is. Now, when I hear someone tell me that's the way it is, immediately I have another part in my brain saying, really? Really? So I really dive deep into that, and that is actually what we're also going to dive deeper in the modules of the quantum training, is to redefine this set point of happiness. We do not believe this is genetically encoded and is going to stay fixed that way all your life, unless you want it to be. If you don't do anything about this, if you don't know about this, there's yes. But with all the tools we have, with everything that we know, I have learned there's nothing that's impossible. So let's reset that set point of happiness to, in itself, bring that up, because that's already going to influence our formula, right? So now next, what is C? C are the conditions of life that we have. Now, interesting here in research is that the conditions of life that we think matter so much in happiness are not really the ones that actually count as high as we think. So if I were to ask you, would you like to have life A, Alexander, a smart, white, 35-year-old business guy, top coach, rocking it in business, really busy, commuting all over the place, has this awesome villa outside of Miami, and he's really, really successful. He earns a ton load of money, and he goes on vacation when he can do it, and that's life A. Or would you like to be Martha? Martha is 63. She's a black woman. She has diabetes. She's really committed to her work at church. She's in voluntary service. She has a really stable marriage. She's kind of happy and had great companionship with her husband. But you know, diabetes, she doesn't earn much. So she goes out and she works extra shifts sometimes where she has great colleagues. Which life do you want? Most people will say A. Most people will say A if you're asked, you know, behind curtains. Because we think that's what makes us happy. But guess what? Martha is way happier than Alexander, because what she has is she has conditions in her life like a healthy relationship and things like V, which are voluntary actions. So remember, conditions in life and voluntary, or listen to this, and intentional actions we take. Voluntary and intentional actions we take, together with conditions in life and our set point of happiness, will determine how happy we are. Now, voluntary. Because Martha is not only in a happy relationship, which is a key point of a condition in life that will increase your happiness, but because she's also so passionately involved in her church and in all her, you know, actions that she does, she even goes out and works and has her teammates over, that actually makes her the happiest person. So these voluntary actions are the key, actually, to ramping it all up. Because the conditions in life, and I'll get into those in a moment, the conditions in life we don't always have that much control over. If you're born in a slum in India, you're born in a slum in India. That's very different than being born maybe in a, I don't know, plush neighborhood somewhere in an affluent Western state. But the things that actually stress us out most in the conditions of life are these. I wrote them down. Number one is, guess what? What do you think is the number one thing that can really affect the condition of your life in a way that'll make you less happy? What's one thing? Relationship is in there, but it's not the number one, interestingly. Number one is noise. Noise. If you are living in a noisy place with constant noise around you, you will get used to it. On a conscious level, you say, okay, well, that's just this, you won't hear it anymore. But your whole nervous system, your unconscious mind, is being constantly put in a point of stress. So that's why we're constantly saying, step out of the buzz, find your silence, find your peace, get out of that noise. Okay, that's number one. Number two, interesting, commuting. Spending long hours in trains and planes and cars, going back and forth every day, is a huge stress on the system and really decreases happiness. There are some people who can find commuting, you know, a practical way of creating some me time, but you've got to be real conscious about that, because usually it's more stress. Number three is a lack of control. The feeling we have no control over our life, we have no say in what is happening, we're not being heard, we're not being seen, life is being decided for us, is a huge downer on happiness. So who needs to take back the control over your life? Yourselves, right? And that's a lot of what we're teaching in this. That's really, I think, what we care most about. You know, I told you I can get really angry about this guru stuff, and you know, mainly because it's fueling that. Every time you give away your control, give away your power, you're not going to feel happy. Okay, next one is shame. If we feel shame, if we've been shamed, if we buy into this whole guilt and shame concept, great way of decreasing happiness. And it's sometimes done intentionally. Again, in many clubs and, you know, groups of people, you're shamed if you want to get out. You're shamed by if you did something wrong. And that is a great way of keeping people, you know, compliant and small. And then the fifth one is, you guessed it was relationships. If you have a happy and secure, or at least healthy relationships in your life, your set point for happiness will be much higher than if you have maybe all the material goods, even a fantastic job, but your relationships suck. And isn't that true? I remember when I went through my divorce, I had, you know, on the outside, I still had a lot to be grateful for. I still had a great place to live. My kids were still healthy. I was healthy. I was rocking my business. All those things were good. I had great friendships. But not having that stable companionship and trusting relationship really was stressful. Because you feel it's all on you. So make sure, even if you're single, make sure that you create networks around you of people who do support you, because it really matters. So isn't it interesting, now that we know what would make us happy, we work on the set point for happiness. We increase our ability to actually feel more happiness. We do our work to clear the stuff that's stopping us from that. We get the set point up. Then we make sure that the conditions of our lives are actually serving us. So think about the trends that we're seeing worldwide. If we know that it would actually make us happier to live in a smaller house together with our friends and families rather than in the huge villa that we have to commute to for hours every day, that's an easy choice, actually, right? So when you know these conditions, you can create more of them. You can think about, maybe I should live somewhere else. Maybe living in a peaceful environment would actually de-stress a lot of my system. And then the voluntary services, those intentional actions, do more of them. We feel happier when we're doing. There's a beautiful quote by Shakespeare. Are you ready for that? Going to read it to you so I don't get it wrong. I loved it so much that I read it. Things won, as in winning, things won are done. Joy's soul lies in the doing. Things won are done. Think of those times when you've achieved that milestone, you've accomplished that big thing you wanted to do. How long is that happiness, actually? I remember I've always worked real hard on accomplishing diplomas and, you know, graduating from universities and all that stuff, because I thought that would give me something that I was looking for, and it did in many ways. But every time I got to that point where I passed the test, even in friggin' flying colors, best of the class, usually, because I'm so kind of driven, right? I thought that's going to be my moment of exhilarated bliss. But you know, it hardly ever was. And I always used to think, what's wrong with me? It's not. It's wired in our brains. Think about it. How happy does that Maserati, those amazing shoes, whatever, that gold chain, how happy does it make you, and how long does that happiness last? And then think, how happy does it make you, and how long does the happiness last when you're helping out a friend? When you're doing something that you love, that is challenging your abilities, but you're able to use your skills, you feel useful, you feel needed, you feel connected, aren't those the moments you remember most and that you feed from then in future? So that's my invitation to you. We can't go deeper right now into this, but I think I've given you a bit of a concept for food for thought, of how you can already start up-leveling your happiness. Yeah? Was that helpful?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.